What I want to say, next slide, please. I also want to acknowledge the last person who was the senior research assistant. Please, the next slide, please. Okay, and our research is funded by an Adolescent Family Life Office of Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Grant. And next slide, please. We have no disclosures. Okay, now let's begin. Okay, what I'm going to do today with my colleague, Dr. Sharp, is we're going to look at some intervention programs and practices to prevent and reduce teenage pregnancy in the United States and other countries, and we will specifically address the countries that were just mentioned. We're going to also look at our research and some of the findings and the outcomes for an evidence-based intervention, which is the North Best Friends Adolescent Family Life Intervention. We're going to compare some outcomes between those young people who got the intervention and those who did not. Global trends indicate there are high rates of teenage pregnancy in the United States and other developed countries, as well as teenage birth rates are higher in the United States than England, Australia, Canada, for particularly they're the developed countries, and if you were looking at unplanned pregnancies for the Philippines. Next one, Dr. Sharp.
Teenagers have a high rates of risky behaviors which affect their health, including drug and alcohol use, smoking, sexual activity that contributes to sexually transmitted diseases, acquisition of HIV and AIDS. Early teenage sexual activity and risky behaviors are related to teenage pregnancy. High rates of risky behaviors exist among the newer teenagers, including early sexual activity that contribute to teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. The CDC reported in 2008 nearly 3.2 million girls ages 14 to 19 are infected with an STD. African American girls are at higher risk. Chlamydia rates among adolescent girls is up by 1.8% in 2009, and African American represent 48% of all new cases of chlamydia and 71% of new cases of gonorrhea. The U.S. has the highest rates of teen pregnancy and births of all developed nations. The teen birth rate for 1,000 girls ages 15 to 19 in 2006 in the U.S. was 41.9.
Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss the literature based on, and just leave it as this for a while. It's going to be about 5 or 10 minutes before I get through this one. Okay, specifically I'm talking about England, Canada, Australia, and the Philippines. And this really was a challenge because there's tons of information out there, and I'm going to have to do justice to this in a short period of time. Okay, so basically what I say is that when you're looking at developed countries, teenage pregnancies are often associated with social issues, including lower educational levels, higher rates of poverty, and poorer life outcomes, particularly not only for the mothers, but as well as for the children. And when we're looking in contrast to underdeveloped countries or developing countries, such as the Philippines, teenage pregnancy is often related to marriage. So in other words, women are married. They're not doing it as unplanned, but that does occur also. And their pregnancies are welcomed by families and society. However, early pregnancy has with it other problems, often within, especially in the Philippines, malnutrition, which contributes to problems for the mother as well as the babies once they're born, as well as medical problems. Now, if we're looking at the United States, the literature indicates that the teenage birth rate in the U.S. is the highest in all, out of all developing countries. And while we've seen patterns where it's been high, it has decreased to the 1990s, and things are stabilizing, but then we're starting to see increases again in certain areas. If we compare the U.S. with Great Britain has consistently remained stable and being very high out of all the Western European countries. So, you know, we see some other different kinds of patterns. Now, going back to the U.S., when we're looking at different states, we have to say that New Mexico, and Arkansas have the highest teenage pregnancy rates, where the lowest are in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont. So it does go state to state. So in the United States, teenage pregnancy has been associated with a variety of problems for the mother, including increased probability of dropping out of school. That's the biggest. Poor emotional health, including suicidal intentions, depression, a risk for lower self-esteem, regret for sexual activity, and it has its consequences for the children. Often the children will also grow up being in poverty, and having also dropping out of school later on. So it's a pattern. Now, in the U.S., the topic of sex education has been the subject of much debate. And if you look at where are we trying to tackle the problem, most public schools have some types of programs. Often abstinence programs, abstinence only, or abstinence with some type of contraceptive education. So in Catholic schools, it's purely abstinence. In the North Public School System, the program we were involved with, it was an abstinence-only education program, and we did not discuss contraception. However, the students in the North Public Schools got contraception through their physical education classes. So they didn't get it from us. So researchers and educators in California have published a list of best practices for the prevention of teenage pregnancy. And basically what these best practices should be are abstinence plus programs that support abstinence education but also provide advice about contraception. Instilling in teens a belief of a successful future. Teens have to know they have a purpose, that it's worth going to school, completing their education, they're going to have a job afterwards. Also getting males involved in the educational process about teenage pregnancy prevention. And designing interventions that are culturally relevant. We talk about cultural awareness, cultural competency. In September 2010, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services provided $155 million in funding for comprehensive sex education programs designed to prevent teenage pregnancy. $55 million of this is funded by the Affordable Care Act through the Personal Responsibility Education Program. So there's a lot of federal programs in which there is funding. And what they're basically doing is they're looking at programs that have been successful in preventing teenage pregnancy. They want to measure outcomes, and they're continuing to give funding to that, and they're looking at demonstration projects and community-based projects. So there are a variety of interventions out there, and we are making an impact. And some of them have mixed findings. Some of them are more promising than others. Programs aimed at reducing the rate of teen pregnancy in the U.S. encourage abstinence. They provide education about birth control, they promote community service activities, and they also give people skills to cope with peer pressure, because teens, of course, have a lot of peer pressure. So I would like to say that there's a series of programs out there. I'm not going to be able to give justice to describing all of them in my short period of time, but some programs that are serving promise are postponing sexual involvement in Atlanta, reducing the risk in California, school community programs in South Carolina, and the Self-Center program in Baltimore, and Teen Talk in Texas and California are just a few of the different programs. So now I want to move on, and I want to say that there's a lot out there on Great Britain and Europe. Most continental Western European countries have very low teenage birth rates. This is related to their good sex education programs, as well as their focus on contraception and easy access to contraception. Traditional values and social stigmatization is also in the countries of Spain and Italy. That's another issue that prevents all the teenage pregnancy. But the UK has had the highest rate of teenage pregnancy, according to UNICEF statistics, and it continues to be high. And there continues to be research looking at programs that Great Britain has established. Wales, UK have established different kinds of teen pregnancy prevention programs because teenage pregnancy in that country is related to low educational attainment, unemployment, homelessness, poor mental and physical health in the teenage mothers. And the children also, as a result, have high infant mortality rates as well as likely to live in poverty, low birth weights. So I'm going to skip over a few things, and I'm going to move to another country. But I have to say that the UK has a series of programs just like the U.S., and they're now looking at monitoring and evaluating their programs because people were just before doing these things and nobody was looking at outcomes. So now the emphasis is let's measure outcomes, let's see where the impact is. Now Canada, during the period from 2000 to 2010, the national teen pregnancy rate increased by 1.1%, and in four provinces, the rate increased by 15.1%. So if we're looking at pockets within Canada, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and Manitoba have higher rates of teenage pregnancy in Canada. The other area is the Aboriginal population in Canada. They also have increased pregnancy rates unplanned, and you're finding that a lot of the programs are being focused on education for those particular populations and in those particular provinces. However, Canada's teen pregnancy rate is still stellar when compared to those of Great Britain and the U.S. I mean, they still tend to have lower rates than the U.S. and Great Britain. Some of the programs that are very promising, they have a program called Girls Incorporated, Preventing Adolescent Pregnancy, where they pull together girls, they explore their values, they practice responses in different situations, they think about the future, they help girls to identify ways to avoid early pregnancy, the benefits of education. Similar programs that are showing promise are something called Growing Together, Willpower, Wompower, and another program, Taking Care of Business. So we have a series of programs springing up, and people are evaluating those. I mentioned that in Canada, the Aboriginal population is a challenge, and it's also the Aboriginal population is a challenge in Australia when we speak to that. So they've developed several specific programs to meet and be culturally specific to the Aboriginal groups. And the Aboriginal Nurses Association of Canada has taken leadership in looking at and dealing with teenage pregnancy prevention. Data from Australian Bureau of Health Statistics suggests that birth rates to teenage mothers over the last 20 years have decreased, and the issue is they are looking at this across different territories. So they have a trend similar to other countries that there's a decrease in teenage pregnancy. However, if you're comparing the different provinces, there is some variation. Rates in Queensland, Western Australia, Tasmania, and Northern Territories are consistently higher than the national average with teenage pregnancy rates, while rates in North South Wales, South Australia, Victoria are lower. So, once again, there's emphasis on programs specific to the different provinces and the different groups. In Australia, abortion is legal, and a large percentage of unplanned teenage pregnancies, they will seek to terminate the pregnancy. If a person believes that it's a harm to them physically or mentally, and the risks are not too great in terms of undergoing the abortion procedure, they will use abortion as a method to end the pregnancy. And so the other piece about Australia is they have a whole school system that's set up. And in all the different provinces, the schools are mandated to not discriminate against teenage moms or pregnant teenagers or people who have kids who've been pregnant before. They are to finish their schooling, and I think that that's pretty cool. I mean, they really have a system in all the different provinces, and the young Australian women are finishing their education early on. So I think that that's important. There are some, the Aboriginal population in this country poses a risk too. And they're the more challenging ones, and there's more programs being implemented to deal with those. So now I'm moving to the Philippines in a very short period of time. And I have to share with you that Dr. Sharf and I go to the Philippines every January, and we provide a community health experience we take Seton Hall University community health students and other students with us, and we link them up with UP Manila. And we provide an urban and rural community health experience. And so we have some understanding of the different problems, including teenage pregnancy. Okay, the Philippines, interestingly, ranks first among Asia's six major economies in teenage pregnancy. Is that yours, Marion? I'm sorry.
Yeah, just there.
Okay. So it's on the top there, six major economies in teenage pregnancy with a rate of 53 per 1,000 women in the 15 to 19 age range. Now, if you get pregnant and you're not married, it's shameful to the mom, the father, the family. And however, they try and hide it. Often they look like they're not even pregnant and they're 8 months and ready to deliver. There is pregnancy occurring, and people do. Even though it's a Catholic country and abortion is illegal, they do have about 64,000 abortions a year in terms of, to not carry that baby to term. Some 16.5 million Filipinos belong to the 15 to 24-year-old age group. 30% of all births belong to this age group, and by the age of 20, 25% of the youth are already mothers. So there's a lot of pregnancy at a very, very early age. I recall we take the students to a clinic for maternal child, and we get the students to interview with some of the moms. We had a mom who had rice for breakfast, rice for lunch, and rice for dinner. Now, how can a baby grow on that? You know what I'm saying? So we were doing some nutritional assessments to see what exactly was happening with the moms. Programs are being developed which provide age-appropriate reproductive health education to young persons so they can make more responsible decisions. And there's an organization, the National Youth Commission. They have spearheaded a national summit on teen pregnancy. They had that in 2012 in Manila because it's such a big problem. And it's increasing because the young people all have access now to the Internet. They have access to videos. It's something that, and they're also having their first menstruation earlier, which is contributing to teen pregnancy. So it is a big issue for Catholic country, and these are our youth, as you would say. We need to invest in them. There are lots of organizations involved in creating programs to help young people. So in summary, I want to say across all countries, there is a problem with teenage pregnancy. There are different groups are being identified as who is at most risk. Programs are being developed. There's an increased interest in monitoring, evaluating the different programs to see which ones have the best impact. So with that in mind, I'm now going to move on to the next part, which is our project, which we focused on largely African American youth. And I'll move to the next slide, Miriam, that's okay. Next slide.
You want to go to the next one?
So, yeah. We used Bandura Social Learning Theory. A couple minutes? Okay, we'll get it done. Okay, and we also had an intervention which focused on discussions, mentoring, role modeling, health and fitness classes, and students participated in cultural events, community service, and a formal recognition ceremony. Next slide, please. Okay. The intervention had a structured curriculum, which was implemented in schools and provided support, role models, and education on delaying sex and avoiding risky behaviors. And it provided supportive relationships, positive peer pressure, counseling, sexuality information, and health lessons. So, in terms of our design, we had a pre-test, post-test design. We had 4 intervention schools and 5 comparison schools. You can see the number of participants. There were 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students. The intervention participants were randomly assigned, selected. The comparison participants were a convenience sample that came from other schools within the North Public School System, and they were matched on grade level, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. And we utilized the Adolescent Family Life Corps baseline follow-up questionnaire and demographic questionnaire, and this was one of the instruments that was measured across 28 different funded programs. So we all had the same instrument to use, so they can use comparative data. Pearson Chi-Square, Mann Whitney Ian with statistical tests, and a 0.5 level significance were used. And Dr. Scharf now will talk to you about the results.
All right, these are the demographics. We dealt with 6th, 7th, and 8th grade high-risk girls and boys, and largely of African-American ethnicity. In a community with high rates of poverty, high unemployment, single-parent households, and violence in the community. The comparison of the intervention versus comparison participants was that we found that the intervention, more so than the comparison participants, reported being able to talk to their parents about having no sex until marriage, talking to their parents about life, saying no to wrong activities, that they had an adult to talk with about problems, that this adult provided encouragement, self-confidence. They valued the importance of marriage and family life, and also the importance of remaining abstinent till marriage, and then the importance of future spouse to remain abstinent, and the belief that abstinence prevents pregnancy, STDs, and other health problems. Significantly more intervention than comparison participants reported that they value a good education, value marriage and family life, and a belief that sex is for married people. They admire teenagers who are abstinent and friends who admire, and they have friends who admire teenagers who are abstinent. Significantly, now we're looking at the what was higher for the comparison groups. A belief that sex before marriage is okay if you've been dating for a long time, and it's okay to date older or younger persons and that they felt they had more control over life. Comparing girls versus the intervention girls with the comparison girls, we find that they feel that it's more important to remain abstinent, the importance of their future spouse to remain abstinent, that abstinence prevents STDs, pregnancy, and other health problems. Premarital sex makes it difficult for a good marriage and family life. Sex is for married persons, talking about puberty, saying no to wrong activities, staying away from trouble, success at plans, self-confidence, importance of a good education, marriage, and family life.
So, in essence, and I know you didn't get, I'll just give you the conclusions real quick. Intervention participants did have more significant outcomes related to abstinence behaviors and attitudes than the comparisons. And findings do suggest that the intervention promotes abstinence and prevents teenage pregnancy. Out of the 5-year study, we only had one pregnancy. Okay, so we had one, we didn't want any, but only one out of the group, compared to the controls who had considerably more. Another data set measured the number of pregnancies. And findings do have implications for development of intervention programs, which promote abstinence attitudes and behaviors, as well as for practice education, research, and policy on effective interventions to prevent teenage pregnancy, as well as promote sexual health. And I thank you.